And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I am Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to this COVID-19 edition of Gopher Radio. As what we were originally planning on doing earlier this month was being able to talk a little bit about spring ball, a little bit about Gopher defense and what it's going to look like in 2020. But Luke, just like everybody here has had to deal with a lot of change in the last 4 weeks or so, it's been a heck of a time to be alive in 2020, hasn't it?
It's been quite a month. Well, I guess maybe even longer than that. It's been quite a 3 months if you think about it from a global perspective. But man, these are wild times. I mean, I'm working from home. I think you always work from home, right?
Yeah, welcome to the work from home life. It's been, trust me, for even in my life, like my better half usually went into the office every day, and now she's been, just like I think most of the people listening, you're working from home. And so it's now you see them every day, 24 hours a day, and it's certainly a transition. Has your wife been working from home, or how's that been?
Yeah, so my wife is, as you know, my wife is a criminal defense and family law attorney. She has been working from home, which makes things interesting. My understanding right now is that for the most part, most court things are shut down, but there are still some things that are deemed essential. So she has gone into the courts a little bit, but very, very limited. Obviously, we have a now 1-year-old kid who obviously missed his birthday party because people were going to be flying in. Yeah, so we didn't get to celebrate his birthday like we had planned. We had people flying in for it, relatives, etc., and so we missed out on that, which was obviously a bummer. But we've already deemed that whenever we all get let loose and can go back into society, we'll just basically celebrate whatever day he is old. So, and here's the reality, Ryan. I think I maybe mentioned this to you over instant message, etc.
Sure.
I think that the first birthday party is really just a celebration of the fact that my wife and I made it to a year. I think it's less about the kid.
It's like the kid's never going to remember it. Like, right. Isn't it like, I don't like my first memory was I was like 4 or 5. Like,
yeah,
the first
sure.
like 3 birthdays, it's just like, doesn't really matter what you get him. He's going to outgrow it clothes wise very, very quickly. And it's essentially just a way for adults to get together. I mean, I don't have children. So that's what my millennial self at least thinks about him. But I mean, here nor there.
Do you then have Netflix recommendations for the people that, you know, like me who are like, okay, so we got an hour or two now.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's been here. So here's my question to you is like with all this time and especially me being a sports writer and sports are essentially canceled for the foreseeable future. Is your house as clean as it's ever been? Because I know that's one of the things like my house is as spotless as it's ever been. Like all those honeydew projects that you were, you know, that were in the backlog there, I cycled through all mine. Like I even have, I think I counted, I went through my closet. I have like 37 shirts and sweatshirts ready to go to a nonprofit once they reopen because Goodwill and the one near me, Hidden Treasures here in St. Anthony, is closed. So I have all this stuff ready to donate, all these different things. And now I'm like... I mean, I haven't gotten to Tiger King yet, even though I've heard it's.
I watched the first episode. It's a little bit ridiculous, but in the same respect, it's like.
Meh. I mean, Love is Blind is ridiculous. You're looking for like something for those of you listening, and your wife or your better half or whoever is tired of watching whatever you're watching, and you want to give her something that's like a guilty pleasure. Love is Blind is the most infuriating show I've ever watched. I watched it with my better half. We had to tell each other, we had to stop pausing it and yelling at the TV and yelling at like, what are these? They're just the most desperate people in the world that make the worst life decisions and you can't stop watching. Like if you are looking for something that your better half would enjoy, then it helps you just kind of let off some steam at the end of the day. I would recommend Love is Blind, but I'm sure many people have already watched that. All I've heard is also I'm supposed to be starting Ozarks this week. Mm-hmm. I've heard that's pretty dang good.
Yeah, I haven't watched it.
It's a weird time, man.
I can probably give my favorite all-time television shows.
Sure.
If you have to pick one to watch, I highly recommend HBO's The Wire. You can either watch it on HBO. I think you can watch it on Amazon Prime as well. It is by far my favorite television series of all time to watch. Chernobyl, another HBO show. I highly recommend that. And that's as far as I'm going to go for recommendations, I think, today.
Well, here's another question for you. Like, I was talking about it with my better half here. I have seen in person in the last 3 weeks since all this kind of stuff went down, I've seen three people, like, in person outside of going to the store. Like, I went to the store today, and it's still so weird to me. Like, guess so, like, some of the things that were still out of stock, like toilet paper. Again, I don't for the life of me understand the whole toilet paper thing. Like, folks, I saw someone do the math on this. You don't need to be buying 24 rolls of toilet paper unless you are going to have explosive diarrhea for the next 3 months. You're never going to go through it that much. Or Clorox wipes. Or we went to Target here in the quarry and they were out of bread. They were out of tortillas. Just it's so wild out there. Or I think my favorite thing was I saw somebody like dressed up with the mask and the gloves. And they had to sneeze, and that was in the same aisle as them. And they literally took the mask down, sneezed, didn't like cover it, and then they went back with their gloves, wiped it, and they like that's not how any of this works.
That's like the person. Like, that's honestly like the person that has like solar panels on their house and puts them on the front of the house, but the front of the house never gets any sun.
It's just the worst. But it's weird. Like, I've been going for like. Have you been leaving the house to do like walks? I'll go on like a walk around my neighborhood like once a day just to get out of the house and smell what fresh air feels like and different things like that. Have you guys been doing that?
Yeah, we do that. And then I will try and walk like during some meetings because I can easily do my job from home. And then if I'm on a call or whatever and I don't need to be looking at a screen or if I'm just having, you know, something like that, I will try and get outside and walk as much as possible just to change things up because I'm a very extroverted person, I think, as you know, Ryan, and it is this is very difficult for me at the moment. My wife is a little bit more introverted. It's maybe not nearly as hard for her, but I mean, I think everybody's struggling just with the fact that you know, life has been turned a little bit upside down. But sure. I appreciate all the people that are doing their job and staying home. Thank you for doing that.
Again, we're not here to give medical advice, trust me, but from the people, Luke, the advice we've all gotten, and just like the state of Minnesota here is now to shelter in place. Just if you can, just stay at home and just try and just do your best. Trust me, Luke and I are with you. We are stir crazy, just like the rest of you are. Mm-hmm. We want to do different things, but for the foreseeable future, and I'm guessing April's not going to be much better. We're stuck here at home, Luke.
So real quick. I know that Ryan James is like watching old games and live tweeting them, which I think is amazing. Right. I remember being I believe a third grader during those Final Four run. 96, 97, I think.
So I was the young age of 4 years old.
There you go. You hadn't even gotten to school yet. But I have seen that they live streamed. What was it? The Penn State game last night. I saw you gifting it to no end. Congratulations. Right. Good for you.
Well, I was trying to just for those who are having issues buffering with that stream or whatever it may be. Figured it's might as well easier to if you're just staying along with the social media since you're watching it online anyway, might as well just gif through it.
Yeah.
And then they did Auburn last week, Penn State this week. I have no idea what if they're gonna do another game or not.
So here's
I wish they would have PJ Fleck and like the staff on during it.
Well, did you see what Kendall Schell and the guys did for they have a podcast called Gophers Only. It's actually a pretty good podcast, so check that out if you haven't done that. But so Kendall has like old players on, et cetera, and they chat, but they live streamed the upset against Indiana from 2013. And he legit had Tubby Smith join them for that. It was comical, but it was good. I liked it. It was kind of fun to get that perspective. I totally agree that PJ and staff should watch a game and like break it down. I think that they'd get a pretty good response.
Yeah, I think especially as you're trying to hold interest in an 11-win team for the first time in over 100 years, I know all of these coaches are at home. Yes, they're doing what they can right now in terms of game planning, the stuff they would normally do in June and July. But at night, yeah, they're just like the rest of us. They're bored as F, and they're looking for stuff to do. It wouldn't be that hard, just like the rest of us have learned how to use something called Zoom. To get them on there and just
honestly, is this the first time you've heard of Zoom or use Zoom?
Yes.
Like seriously?
This is legitimately the first time.
Wow.
Same with my better half. I mean, really? She's never heard of Zoom and now she uses it all the time.
Really? Okay. Interesting. I've heard all these people, because I've used Zoom for years, right? Like, mostly because I work with.
Are you trying to like humble brag that you were above everybody else in terms of you knew this was going to be a thing, or like you didn't use, I feel like, Microsoft Teams or something like that?
So we've been in my work, we used HipChat for years, and then moved over to Slack, and then for screen sharing or for video calls. For a long time, we used Zoom, and then we've obviously used G Suite and used Google Hangout Meet as well. I think the bigger thing is that I've been doing remote work for 5-6 years with remote teams. So we've just been forced into this, and then you evaluate all the products, because quite frankly, WebEx sucks at times. Zoom can suck at times. Google mm-hmm. Hangout Meet can suck at times. So you get frustrated and kind of like switch around a little bit. My least favorite is Join Me. I hate Join Me. I will never use that product again. It's absolutely the worst.
For those of you who don't know, Luke, your everyday job is a tech job. So
yeah, it is.
You are always on the kind of cutting edge of what's in and what's not.
I installed a product into Slack this weekend called Screen, which helps share your screen and give control of your screen, etc., for people that are more remote. So I have enjoyed using that so far. It's from the guys that built Screen Hero. If you remember that product, so for those nerds out there like me. But I do have lots of tools that I use, and I get frustrated with them, and I switch them around all the time. So,
well, you know what you could do as we kind of transition to a little bit more Go Football talk is you could go on one of these virtual visits.
Oh, yeah. So how does this actually work? Like, is this something where they've just like built a video, or how do you go on a virtual visit?
Well, I don't want to bury the lead here, but I've got this big article coming out on Monday. So if you're listening to this on Monday,
you know, I can control when this podcast goes out, right?
No, let's release it immediately for the people. I know that they're looking for something just like I am to kind of take your mind off everything that's going on. But I got a big article about it with reaction from PJ. I asked him about that. I got PJ Fleck this past week, and he just got a new puppy. That he is having a whale of a time trying to get potty trained. So for those of you who like to humanize the head coach there, he's just like everybody else. He's cleaning up a lot of accidents right now. But I got reaction from PJ, kind of the thought process there from recruits and how it's going over from the parents. And essentially the TLDR about it is it's a 1 hour, aka 60-minute visit, uh-huh. where they have a host. So you're like, yeah, in many visits, they'll have a guy show you around. So there'll be somebody on the recruiting staff, and it's all done via FaceTime. And the nice part about it is with everyone being home right now, it's so effective, at least from what I've talked to from the recruits and their parents, is because it's only 60 minutes. You can schedule it. You can do a whole lot of different things with it. So like an example of the visit was, say, Luke, you are a recruit. So you have a 9 a.m. call with Minnesota. So from 9 to 9:05, you're just getting to know your host a little bit. And then you get a FaceTime with Dan Nickel, who's Minnesota's strength and conditioning coach. So one-on-one FaceTime with him. You can ask him any questions. He can run you through what a normal strength and conditioning workout would be. And then for another 5 minutes, they run you through what your living situation would look like in terms of where would you be living? How close is it to the complex? What would it look like on the inside? And then for another 5 minutes, you have a one-on-one with an academic counselor from the University of Minnesota. So say, Luke, you want to go into meteorology. Well, you'd be having a 5-minute academic conversation with somebody from that department, and they can answer any questions you have about how they address that at Minnesota. Then a video of campus. And then you get a one-on-one FaceTime with your position coach, a one-on-one FaceTime with your recruiting coach. And then it ends with at least a 10-minute FaceTime with PJ Fleck. So it's all done in a succinct manner to where it's quick, it's efficient, and you can get mom and dad there. Now, and that's one of the things PJ talked about with me is that's the beauty of recruiting right now is because many mom and dads or guardians or whoever they may be are working from home. They traditionally don't get to see it. Whereas if you FaceTime with the kid, you know, during the day or at night, they may be at work. Well, everybody's home now. So everybody can see what the University of Minnesota looks like if they haven't been there, because Minnesota was supposed to have 15 to 20 visitors on campus in March once they got back from spring break. But the kids never came back from spring break, including the players.
Right.
So that's how they're trying to do all these different things virtually. And it's from what I've gleaned anyway, it's been It's been pretty effective. And again, so, if you want to see all that, it's going to be free on GI on Monday morning.
Okay. So I know you have the article coming out, but what things that instantly come to mind for me, are other people doing this nationally, or right now is this pretty it's much a Minnesota really, only thing, or what?
Well, Kansas is doing a little bit of it, less miles of Kansas, but their junior, like their virtual visit / junior day thing was like 10 hours long. Like no one Whoa. Has time from no. like 9 to 7 to go through an hour long about academics, and it's so general, and it's so, and anybody could have attended it. Like you just needed a link. Whereas,
oh sure.
So you go from 10 hours to 60 minutes, get everything you need in there. You go from hundreds of people can be watching it. It's not personalized at all. To it's 1-on-1 with your 3 different coaches, academics, the strength and conditioning coach.
Right.
They can answer any one of your questions that you have. Plus, it's short enough to where mom and dad can, you can find an hour right now.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't care what you tell me. Everyone's at home. You know, you can say you're busy at different times, but you can find an hour to potentially go on a virtual visit with your son from your couch. And so that's where Minnesota thinks it's pretty effective. But in the reality is, you're just trying to set yourself up to where, fingers crossed, maybe late May into June or July, they can start to get these kids on campus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you can potentially then, it's going to be a quick visit and a quick commitment. And so that's where they're just trying to set themselves up for those different types of things.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, like, I think this is a really good introduction to any kind of university, right? Like you get a lot of information very quickly and succinctly. It's almost like a phone interview, right? Like in normal phone interviews, like,
right.
And then to your point, like they can either find out, are you in or you out? Right. And then they can work towards getting kids onto campus, you know, at some point in the future. I think really right. it's brilliant. And I got to imagine that it makes
a ton of sense.
Right.
And that's where you should be using this going into the future too, where say it's a dead period next mm-hmm. year, but I mean, you can set the groundwork and you're laying the foundation for potentially getting a commitment once these kids get on campus, because you've had them meet their position coaches. You've had them meet the strength and conditioning guy. They've seen some general videos of what it would be like to be a Gopher football player. And for at least from what I understand from the research I've done, Minnesota is the only Big Ten team doing this. There's really only a couple other teams besides Kansas. I saw Georgia's trying to get into the game, but Minnesota's on the cutting edge of this kind of thing. And that's where it shouldn't surprise you that PJ Fleck and his staff on the recruiting side of things are mm-hmm. trying to get any edge they can get. But I think it's hopefully going to pay dividends. I mean, it certainly seems that way. You guys can read for yourself tomorrow the different kids and their reaction to it and their parents' reaction and different things of that nature. But it seems to be like Minnesota is trying to put themselves a step ahead of everybody else. And it at least appears on my end that they are.
Do you have any sense? And if this is in your article, you can say, read my article. Sure. If they were going to do this before this happened anyway, or is this really a reaction to the circumstances?
Well, Fleck would tell you, I got quotes from him in it, that they were doing this before. Now that's kind of accurate. I mean, they were still FaceTiming kids, but absolutely not to the extent that they've been doing it this past week. They were doing about 5 to 7 guys a day on these virtual visits. And if you're looking for names, it's all on Gopher Illustrated on the message board there for the paying members. But
can you imagine the logistics of that though? Like getting,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
It is like Fleck schedule has been just, he's been so incredibly busy. He even told me, he's like, I've been more busy here at home than I will have been in the office. And he goes, I think that's the same for many of the people on the staff, because we're doing all the scheduling and just, you're trying to make sure the time that you have, it's being used in an efficient and timely manner. Like he is incredibly busy with FaceTimes, incredibly busy with different types of things. And he's trying to set himself up so that when eventually they are able to get these kids on campus, these kids know a lot about Minnesota. They know exactly what it's about and they just want to see it for themselves. And then they can pull the trigger. And that's where it's been very, very busy for the young head coach.
I got to imagine like the tools that, you know, have become very popular in recruiting, like the huddles of the world, right? That somebody's got to be able to build a platform like this to sell back to sell access to.
Again, I don't pretend to be like the tech guru that you are, but I am very curious, like how can you conduct this entire thing via FaceTime where you're switching out different people that they're talking to while maintaining the same FaceTime connection? Now,
well, you can add multiple people to a FaceTime, right?
Oh, so you can?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow, for sure.
I feel like such an old.
I mean,
if you'd
still have an iPhone, you'd know this.
I was about to say I'm a proud member of Team Google Pixel, and I don't plan on going back.
Is it also possible that it's not FaceTime and it's a different application that he just uses FaceTime as like a global?
It could be. All I know is that the recruit is the one essentially on FaceTime the whole time.
Sure.
No, they try to find different alternatives for those of us like myself that are Team Google Pixel, but to maintain the connection with like seven different people coming in and out of your screen is wild to me. But hey, if technology's there with the Apple phones, good for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally doable. I just imagine that there's probably one person kind of leading point to pull people in, etc.
Correct. And that would be the host on the recruiting staff.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, which makes a lot of sense.
It's been very interesting to try and find some different things to write about, considering we don't know when college football will be back. But I do know that we did promise people at some point 3-4 weeks ago a defensive podcast, and trust me when I say we'll get into it here pretty soon.
Yeah. Okay. Real quick, just before we make that transition, there obviously you kind of alluded to the fact that the players went on spring break, but then like effectively never came back to campus. Yeah. So let's just round that out. So it was like they got maybe three practices in, what's the schedule of events there?
Yeah, so we were able to go to our first practice on March 6th, which is only 3 weeks ago, but my God, does that feel like an eternity ago? And then that was the final spring practice. And then on March 7th, the Saturday, they all went home for spring break. And then COVID escalated and the NCAA, that next week, the NCAA tournament gets canceled, Big Ten tournament gets canceled. And that's where the Big Ten was like, well, we're just going to suspend all spring sports, and they canceled all spring sports, and now things are essentially on a moratorium here until mid-May. And how does that impact Gopher football? Well, then the University of Minnesota and President Joan Gable said, don't bother coming back to campus, please, and stay at home. And now all classes are done online. And so the football players, I think it was like around March 12th, which is a Thursday, were told, don't come back to campus. And that's where Minnesota was like, okay, cool. Well, we don't get any more spring practices. Now, I know that some people think there's a chance they're going to get these spring practices back. I would be gobsmacked if they were able to do anything resembling spring practice. Because here's the reality now, is everyone's at home. These kids can't go to any gyms because they're not open. And so they're being asked to do different workouts at home. And a lot of these kids don't come from great areas. And they maybe aren't getting the best nutrition now. They certainly don't have any kind of weight room at home. And so they're trying to, and that's where the Gophers strength and conditioning staff is trying to find creative ways to get them to do workouts. Because what they don't want to happen is these kids get back on campus in June or July, and they're going to be asked to go into fall camp in August, that first week, and they're all out of shape. And they're all a little, they don't have the muscle mass that they did. And what you're going to run into is then you're going to have a ton of soft tissue injuries because no one's in shape. They're trying to go from 0 to 100, and you're going to see a ton of hamstrings, quads, just different things like that. And so that's where this Gopher strength and conditioning staff is trying to find different ways to try to alleviate that. Now, Minnesota is still having spring meetings virtually. They're using Zoom. PJ Fleck confirmed that. So they get 2 hours a week of position meetings, but there's so much that you only can do over Zoom. Just like many of you know, there's only so much you can get accomplished virtually, especially for a sport like football and how young Minnesota is on the defensive side of the ball and inexperienced. They needed these reps. And that's where I even think it's interesting, Luke, and I asked PJ about this. Take a school like Nebraska right now. They didn't make a bowl game, so they didn't get those 15 extra bowl practices that Minnesota got.
Right.
And then spring football was canceled for them, or I guess postponed indefinitely before they were able to take flight. So you're talking about a Nebraska football team that might be going 9-10 months between practices. And that's where I asked PJ, how valuable is it now in hindsight that you got 15 bowl practices plus 3 spring practices compared to other people like Purdue and Nebraska who didn't make a bowl game, so they didn't get the extra practice time. And you don't get the spring practice time as well. And that's where you look at places like Iowa trying to replace a brand new quarterback. You look at places like Wisconsin trying to figure out life after Jonathan Taylor. Nebraska's got a new coordinator Northwestern's got a new coordinator. Purdue's got new coordinators, just like Minnesota. Now everybody's just kind of like, what do we do now? And how do we try to implement what we're going to do this fall if there is football? It's going to be a crazy time.
Yeah, so that doesn't surprise me that people look at this as an advantage, nor do the injuries. I guess the thing that I'm curious about is, like, I have seen some stuff, you know, where they're talking about, is it possible that they would shift the schedule towards the summer because there might be a lull in this, right? And I don't know if you got a chance to talk to PJ about that or what reality is, right. But I can't imagine the chaos that, you know, if that would come to fruition, how that scheduling would happen and then like the injury expectations, et cetera.
So the reality here is the coaching staff has no idea. And I've had a lot of conversations with them here off the record in the last few weeks. It's funny how people want to pick up their phone now that they have not a lot to do at home. But everyone's flying blind. They have, I mean, Fleck would be lying to you if he knew that by late May this is all going to be settled down and they'll be able to have June officials. They'll be able to get kids on campus again in June. Truly, we have no idea, just like the rest of the country. Like Luke and you and I truly have no idea when we're going to be able to leave our homes and actually go back out into society and go sit on a patio and have a nice adult beverage. Just like they have no idea when the NCAA is going to allow them to go on the recruiting, just different things like that. And so, I mean, they're hopeful like everybody else is that at some point this summer, we can start to get back to what was resembling reality, but they truly have no idea. And that's where even Kirk Herbstreit came out and said this week, like, he's like, I'm not betting on there being a college football season. Now, I wouldn't go that far yet.
Mm-hmm.
We're still here in March. I think there's the brightest minds in the world are trying to figure this thing out, and I kind of have a lot of faith in them, and maybe that's me being optimistic. But, I mean, the hope is that they can get these guys back on campus at some point during the summer, and then it's going to be a sprint to that opening game. And I find it a little bit hard to believe that in 5 months we're going to be able to see a packed stadium, a TCF Bank Stadium, but – I mean, crazier things have happened, and I guess maybe I'm a little bit optimistic.
Yeah, I mean, I think lots of big question marks still remain. I just don't know what to expect. If I was a gambling person, I would not take this bet. I just wouldn't, whether or not we're going to have football or not. But I'm not trying to be pessimistic. I just don't have any confidence in any way.
Like maybe we'll get into this next week when we bring Eric Vigo on in terms of what happens if there's no football season.
Right.
I mean, we're talking $30+ million that the university athletic department gets from the Big Ten Network in terms of TV revenue.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't get that $30 million, what does that mean for the rest of the sports that especially non-rep sports?
Yeah. What I don't know is like, how does the Big Ten Network, are they obligated to actually pay that? Like there might not be an out clause. I don't know.
Yeah. All questions for Eric Vigo that we'll talk about next week.
So just to close out on this, so academically, obviously, you know, these are student athletes. I imagine all the classes are online, et cetera.
Correct.
I believe that I did read that a number of classes have gone to pass fail, too. But I got to imagine that the kind of things are a big adjustment for players that way as well.
Right. Trust me when I say I've talked to a lot of players, parents, and they're very grateful that their sons are home and they get to spend a little time with them. But it's also like, It's just a weird time for all. And that's where these kids are still taking online classes. And some have gone past fail, as you said. But some of them, like if they have labs or something or in-person stuff, I mean, they can't do that. And that's where it's maybe just like the rest of it is hindering their learning ability. But it's a lot of Zoom. I can assure you that the different tools that the University of Minnesota Athletic Department academics are trying to use these virtual classrooms to try and teach these kids and online tests and everything like that. It's been a really interesting time for many of these student athletes.
Got it. No, that makes sense. Okay. I think we promised that we'd talk a little bit of defense. So we probably should do that. We're already, 30 minutes in, so we probably should do that quickly because we don't want – I guess people have a ton of time, but, you know, we kind of have
– Trust me when I say I'm not going to try and short them, whereas they have time to listen to, like, a 75-minute pod, right?
Right. And we don't have, like, a brand that we're trying to keep necessarily, but –
We are our own entity.
Right, exactly. So defensively, I think the big thing, the headline for me is, holy cats, we're going to have to replace a lot of dudes.
And a lot of dudes that have played a lot of snaps.
Exactly.
I mean, you even start with the defensive line. You're talking about Carter Coughlin is no longer here. Carter Coughlin has played, maybe 90% of the snaps for Minnesota in the last 4 years at whatever respective position he's been at. I mean, you look at under P.J. Fleck alone, you're losing both starting defensive ends who have been with P.J. for the last 3 years in Winston, Delaney Boudaire, and you also lose Carter Coughlin, guys who have played a ton of snaps. You also lose Sam Renner, arguably Minnesota's most efficient defensive tackle last year, finished top two with Carter Coughlin and sacks and tackle for loss. He was very disruptive. And you're going to be replacing all three guys with a ton of inexperience. When you're replacing them with guys like Keontae Shad, Asezi Otemiwu, and Boye Mafe. Now, the comeback to that would be, well, hasn't Shad, Otemiwu, and Mafe played snaps in the last couple of years? Sure, but you're talking about guys who have played, I mean, last year alone, maybe Shad played 20 snaps a game.
Sure.
Otemiwu maybe played 20 snaps a game. Mafe maybe played 10, 15. And now they're going to be asked to go into that 50 to 60 snaps a game role. Now, athletically, is maybe Keontae Shad an upgrade over Sam Renner? Sure. Does Asezi Otemiwu look a lot better than what Winston did at defensive end? Certainly. Am I higher on Boye Mafe than maybe anyone out there? Absolutely. But you're still going to be dealing with a ton of inexperience there. And that's where you have the questions of how do you replace Carter Coughlin's pass rush? Now, I think Boye Mafe certainly has the athletic skill set to do that. I mean, Fleck has even said as much, where Mafe's 6'4", 260, and Fleck said he's got a 40-inch vertical, which would be incredibly astounding. Now, when Boye played last year, I think he was very efficient and effective with the snaps that he got in terms of generating pressure, but now he's got to be able to do that, and not only do that, play against the run. Or you have the question mark of Asezi Otemiwu, where he looks a lot better physically than what Winston did at, Winston was maybe 6'1", 6'2", 250, whereas Asezi is 6'6", 275. Well, the reality is, if Asezi was better than Winston, he would have played. And that's where, I mean, how much can you expect from Asezi? Keontae Shad, I think he should have earned a little bit more reps last year, but Sam Renner was playing so well that you were going to take him off the field. And then you also have Micah Dutredway, the Notre Dame transfer, coming back for his sixth year. I think maybe the issue then becomes, his experience as the starters are going to be folks. The people behind them are going to be even more inexperienced because they haven't really played any snaps.
Right. And this is where you have to be good in recruiting, right? You have to have recruiting and development. So you have to have recruited well and to backfill some of those positions, but you also have to develop those guys to be ready to play some meaningful minutes meaningful snaps, because right now it's a giant question mark, I think, both for your starters and your backups.
And that's essentially the big theme of the defense, is we're going to find out how well P.J. Fleck is recruited defensively, because now all the guys that played a ton of snaps were killer Clay's guys. Guys like Carter Coughlin, Thomas Barber, Kamal Martin, Antoine Winfield, Winston Delaney Boudaire, Sam Renner, all guys that played a ton of snaps for Minnesota and P.J. Fleck's first 3 years. And now it's going to be year four, and we're going to find out truly how well, especially you look at some of the depth guys on the defensive line, guys like Jamal Teague, guys like Noah Hickox. A guy I'm really excited about is D'Angelo Carter, the scout team player of the year last year. I think he's going to be a very disruptive defensive tackle either at the one or the three. I mean, you're also looking at a guy like MJ Anderson as a redshirt freshman. DV Harris is a redshirt freshman. Rashad Cheney is a redshirt freshman. I mean, you don't want to play a ton of freshmen on your defensive line. But the reality also is, you don't have a choice with a lot of these guys, is they're going to have to get into that 15 to 20 snap a game role, because Minnesota doesn't really have another choice.
Okay, so I guess defensive line, I mean, we obviously have question marks all over the place. I guess for me, probably the biggest scare right now is that linebacking crew. I know you were pretty excited after, watching a couple of, or I think you watched one spring practice maybe. Is that correct?
Trust me when I say, yes, I only did get one spring practice to watch. If I would have known it was only, I thought I was going to get four spring practices.
Right.
To kind of evaluate things. And so if I would have known that would have been my only one, I would have done things maybe a little bit differently in terms of what I was watching. But yes, linebacker is going to be a giant question mark.
Yeah, I mean, because there you think about that, you lose Thomas Barber and Kamal Martin, who two of I mean, they basically played meaningful snaps. Yeah, meaningful snaps for 4 years.
Yeah, it was them and Blake Cashman.
Right.
That under PJ Fleck essentially took all the snaps, maybe a little bit of John Celestine there early on. But Thomas Barber has played a significant amount of snaps. Kamal Martin, when he was healthy, played a significant amount of snaps. And that's where you're going to be trying to replace them with guys like Mariano Sorry-Marin, a guy that came a long way from game one against South Dakota State, number 55, if you guys remember his number, to what he played against Auburn. Now, he came a long way. He still has a long way to go. But it's going to be a ton of inexperience. And this is maybe the one position that is impacted most by this COVID-19 shutting down spring practice for Minnesota anyway, is offensively you return 9 starters. The only spots you're replacing guys at would be running back and Tyler Johnson spot. Well, you have Chris Ott in the bell to slide in for Tyler. You have Mo Ibrahim ready to come in at running back. Everything's back. Yes, you've got the offensive coordinator change there, but I don't anticipate a ton of tweaks other than, yes, they're going to throw to the tight end. Defensively, Joe Rossi needs to figure out what all these new guys are best at. What are their strengths so that I can tailor my defense to that?
Right.
And he really doesn't know a lot. Yeah, he saw Mariano play, knows what he's good at. I've talked about this on Gopher Illustrated, but it sounds like the injury that Braylon Oliver sustained in that first week of practice is pretty serious. Now, I don't want to kind of reveal any more details than that. I've already talked about it extensively on GI, but I'm not counting on him potentially for this fall. And so you have one guy that's played snaps because you have James Gordon, a guy that I'm very high on athletically, but he's a redshirt freshman and he hasn't played a lot of college football. He played in 4 games last year. Donald Willis only played in 4 games last year. Highland Park's Josh Ani is also going to be expected to be in there. For those of you who haven't heard, Thomas Rush has moved to defensive end. He's going to be another guy learning a new position there. So if your starters are going to be something resembling Mariano Sorry-Marin and then either James Gordon or Josh Ani, these are guys that haven't played a ton of defensive snaps. And so that's where your defensive coordinator maybe doesn't know how to tailor his defense best to what their strengths are compared to what he doesn't want it to be
right,
with their weaknesses. Now, folks also know that I'm incredibly high on some of the young linebackers like Cody Lindenberg and Jaquandus Burns. They were expected to potentially compete for actual starting positions here this spring. And that was the whole advantage of them enrolling early, was they were going to get a leg up. Well, they got 3 spring practices in and essentially 7 days into spring meetings, and now they're like the rest of us, they're at home. And so that maybe potential advantage for them to see the field is no longer there. So it's going to be incredibly inexperienced there. Now, what I will say is, yes, it's inexperienced, but I think they're upgrading athletically. I love Thomas Barber to death, but the reality is Thomas Barber is 5'10", 240 pounds. Mariano Sorry-Marin is 6'3", 240, okay? A little bit different there. Or if you want to look at it a little bit differently, if you want to just say Mariano slides in athletically to that Kamal spot, well, then either James Gordon, who is 6'1", and I mean, if you had an all get off the bus team in terms of who you want to get off first behind Daniel Fa'alele, it's going to be James Gordon, because that dude is absolutely cut athletically. He is as physical as a linebacker as Minnesota has. And I know that many on the staff were very high on him coming in the spring. You'll remember him being a Florida linebacker that Minnesota beat out at the end, late offers from Miami, Florida State. I remember Fleck telling the story that he walked into James Gordon's house for the in-home visit in December, a week or two before they signed, and there was just cane gear everywhere. And he's like, "Are you trying to tell me something?" He goes, "No, coach, I know that they're trying to come in again, but I'm good with Minnesota." I mean, it's just athletically, I think you upgrade from what Thomas Barber provided. Now, Kamal Martin, when he was healthy, was a game changer. But again, that's where I'm going to continue the theme of, yes, you're graduating some guys, but I think you're upgrading athletically. But the issue is maybe these guys are going to be playing a step slow to start the season because they're not as sure in terms of what they're reading because of the inexperience. So that's where it's going to be kind of an interesting thing to follow in September.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I guess, you know, it's just so much we don't know, right? And that's the thing that we have to obviously get games in, and it's going to be a small sample size early. But you, to your point, I mean, I think I said this and got some heat for it previously, and that's fine. But these are a lot of killing in Clay's recruits, right? And they played a lot of meaningful minutes. Now
they did.
I think the reality of the situation is, I'm not saying that these guys can't recruit. I'm not saying that at all, but their recruits didn't beat out these guys. They continued to play meaningful snaps. So there's still a lot to prove in this situation. But one position group that does have some depth coming back and some returning and have played some meaningful snaps is that defensive backfield. Now, you lose a guy like Antoine Winfield. That is a massive loss. Don't get me wrong, but Jordan Howden's back. Coney Durr is back. St. Juste is back, etc. Maybe don't have a ton of depth, but you have some guys that have played a lot of meaningful snaps.
Yeah, and to your point, I mean, we're not here trying to get into the whole kill slash deflect debate, but the reality is, I mean, it was the kill slash Clay's guys that played a ton of snaps defensively, while offensively, it was all the Fleck guys. Now you can say that, well, yeah, that makes sense because kill slash Clay's offenses were an absolute disaster. I mean, I think you can make that argument on it, sure. Whereas the Tracy Clay's defense, they knew how to recruit defensively, which is also true. But now that those guys are gone, we're truly going to find out. And so that's where, yeah, athletically, James Gordon, Donald Willis, Cody Lindenberg, Josh Honey, and they look really good, and they're very athletic, and they're quick, and they're strong, and they're fast. But how well can they play the position?
Right.
And that's a great point. I mean, when you're talking about defensive back, I mean, you don't replace Antoine Winfield, first and foremost. Just you cannot expect Tyler Newbin to jump in, going from playing special teams last year as a true freshman to ascending in what Antoine Winfield did. I mean, Antoine Winfield arguably had one of the greatest years of Gopher safety he's ever had. He's first team All-American for a reason. I mean, for those of you who just this past weekend were rewatching the Penn State game, you saw how much of an impact Antoine Winfield had on that game. I mean, he was everywhere making play after play after play. And that's where it is nice, where you return both your corners and Coney Durham, Benjamin St. Juice, two guys that had 10 pass breakups each last season. And that's where it's nice to have that kind of coming back. You also have Jordan Howden, who is arguably the most improved player on that Gopher defense last year, went from an absolute liability in 2018 to a very dependable starter in 2019. Now, can he take that next step to potentially becoming a little bit more than that in 2020? But then you're replacing two huge spots. And maybe the one that no one's talking about is that nickel position.
Sure.
With Chris Williamson. I mean, he was incredible.
Yes.
As Minnesota's de facto third linebacker slash trying to cover guys out of the slot. He was very dependable for Minnesota. And the issue is the drop-off is going to be there because Justice Harris is likely going to be the first guy that was going to get that shot. And folks, from what I've seen of Justice Harris on defense in his 3 years, when he's been out there, it's been big play after big play after big play in the pass coverage game. Now, maybe he played a little bit too soon in those early years, but there's a reason why Minnesota knew they had to go out and bring in a transfer like Chris Williamson to play nickels, because they knew Justice Harris wasn't the guy early in his career. Now, the question is he going to be that guy in his final season? He's going to be a true senior this fall. Can he be that guy that can actually provide something there? I mean, we'll find out. Tyler Newbin, as now a sophomore, how much can Joe Harris-Simiak, and maybe that's one of the biggest things in the secondary, is it's clear that Joe Harris-Simiak played a huge role, Minnesota's safety coach, in helping Jordan Howden develop, helping Antoine Winfield ascend to the levels he did last year. Well, the primary objective for him this spring was get Tyler Newbin up to snuff. Get him ready for a Big Ten football season in 2020. Well, now he doesn't get all 15 practices to work with him on the different looks he'll see. What do you need to do in this situation versus this situation versus this situation? And yeah, you can do a little bit of that on video, but these kids need to go out and fail so they can learn. I mean, that's the reality of it.
Look at you. Look at you. These kids have to go out and fail so they can learn.
Oh, my gosh. I know. I said that. I just immediately just put face palms.
You're fine. You're fine. Failure is growth.
And that's where you do have depth. I mean, in the secondary anyway. I mean, your backup corners are Terrell Smith, Phillip Howard. Phillip Howard put his name in the portal, then took it out. He's going to be a guy that's going to be expected to provide Terrell Smith. Maybe a guy I get a ton of questions on more than anybody else is, where was Terrell Smith last year? My answer to that would be he was behind St. Juice, and he was right behind Coney. Like, you weren't going to bring either one of those two off the field to play Terrell Smith.
Here's a question.
How well they were playing? No way.
Yeah, no, but here's a question. Like, I get the Justice Harris logic right now, but what's saying that like a Coney or a St. Juste or even a Terrell Smith couldn't move into the slot? Why not one of them, where I have more faith in maybe those three than I do in like a Justice Harris at this point?
I would say, because why mess with St. Juste or Durr when they're playing so well in those outside positions?
Sure.
I mean, if they can provide man coverage one-on-one for a large majority of the game, well, then you can give safety help to the guy in the slot, or you can do some different things scheme-wise to kind of mitigate a liability type of guy in the slot compared to what you have on the outside. Now, I mean, traditionally, you kind of have like a bulkier guy in the slot, like Chris Williamson.
Yeah.
Is 6 foot, 200 pounds. Now, yep. Justice Harris, probably about 5'10", 5'11", 200 pounds, but you're not going to throw traditionally a guy like St. Juste in there.
Yeah.
And I just wouldn't move Coney because of how well he played on the outside there. You don't need to. And that's where Terrell Smith still has warts. And those, I think, were evident when he played last year, where, yeah, he's incredibly fast straight line, but he's still way too grabby.
Yeah.
Still has a lot to deal with in terms of, is he going to be physical enough in the run game?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Actually get off a block and go make a play like I've seen Durr do, like I've seen St. Juste do.
Yeah, I would say with Terrell Smith, I think like there's no way that he can play a slot because of the physicality piece. At least he hasn't shown that yet. But
And that's where I would like Philip Howard.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that makes a lot of sense for him to compete with Justice.
Yep. But
the reality is, I mean, they weren't at the one practice that I was at. Now, a lot could have changed as the practices went on and they saw what they needed to see from certain guys, but he was a backup outside corner.
Sure. And the thing is like, if anybody's going to play that, if I had to nominate someone on the current roster, and I get that he's had success elsewhere, but you know, Coney Durr is the one that, you know, sticks his nose in there. He's maybe not the biggest guy, right? But he at least fights off blocks more than most. And definitely St. Juste just doesn't fit the mold in terms of his length, etc. Not saying he can't be physical. I don't think he's nearly as physical as Durr, but you know, that's sure.
And that's where, like, maybe a guy like Solomon Brown, a redshirt freshman, could have potentially gotten there. I know that this coaching staff is incredibly high on Jalen Glaze, who is a Florida defensive back they signed in the most recent recruiting class. Many are expecting him to compete for that slot role come fall camp. But that spot as the nickel corner was so, so valuable.
It was.
For Minnesota last year, because Williamson played it so well.
You'll even
remember last year, like last night, they were showing the Penn State game.
You and I are on the same wavelength.
We have fourth down in the fourth quarter. It's KJ Hamler versus Chris Williamson in the slot. KJ Hamler is going to be a top 75 pick in the upcoming NFL draft. And Williamson stays right on his hip, bats it away. Instead of a touchdown or a flag and new hope, it's turnover on downs. I mean, that was so huge. I mean, playing as well as he did throughout the entire season. And so that's where, how can new corners coach Paul Haynes, how can Joe Harris-Semyak and Joe Rossi all figure out how to replace two huge starters on this defense?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have more faith that Tyler Newbin can – Minnesota can do some things to kind of break him in. He's got all the athletic ability in the world that you would want at 6'2", 190, 200 pounds. But he's green, and he just needs experience, and he needs to learn – you know, just different things of what he's going to see on a weekly basis. And that's where, go ahead.
He will be a true sophomore, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, as we kind of round things out here, if there's one thing I can stress, and I've tried to do this throughout the podcast, is I think that, you know, Minnesota is going to be replacing their seven starters that they're missing with guys who are as athletically gifted, if not more athletically gifted than what they're replacing. The issue is, they may not play to that athletic ability here early on in the season because they're going to be a step slow because they're thinking.
Right.
If you're thinking on the football field, you're a step slow and you're going to get beat. And that's where these 15 spring practices were going to be so huge for Joe Rossi and this defensive staff in terms of tailoring their 2020 defensive game plan on what they were knew what their strengths were on a given week. Now they can't do that because they only got three spring practices in, and they're, I wouldn't say going blind. They obviously know what they have in many of these guys, but you wanted to know as much information about each one of these guys and what they can handle. So the athletic ability is there. I just don't know how quickly they're going to play up to that.
Sure.
And that's a tough thing for Minnesota, where some of their huge, huge games are going to be early in the season, where Iowa comes to town in late September on a Friday night. You got to go to Madison in mid-October this right. year instead of late November. Now, on that same wavelength, you look at those two games respectively. The week before Iowa comes to Minnesota on that Friday night, they have to play a very meaningful game against the Cyclones of Iowa State. And that's where they're breaking in a brand new quarterback, and Iowa State's a pretty damn good football team. Or you look at the two weeks before Minnesota travels to Madison. Well, Wisconsin's got, I believe, they're on the road at Michigan in Ann Arbor. And then the week before they play Minnesota, they're supposed to play Notre Dame at Lambeau Field. So they're going to have two incredibly tough games, whereas I don't believe Minnesota's going to have as tough of games before that, in between though, in those 2 weeks before. And so that's where it's going to be just trying to get them up to speed like everybody else across college mm-hmm. football is trying to do.
All right. Just before we kind of close out here, what are you thinking about the Thomas Rush position change? Do you like that? Do you dislike that? I mean, this is a guy that it felt like they kind of built up this last year. He didn't get a lot of run. What do you think?
To me, and the way PJ Fleck explained it to us in the media is, the game was a little fast for him at linebacker because you were taking a guy like Thomas Rush in high school. He played a lot of running back. I played a lot of, I believe, a little bit of linebacker, some safety, and you were trying to convert him into a college linebacker. And the way PJ explained it, the way it's been explained to me behind the scenes from some members of the defensive staff was, it's like what they did with Carter Coughlin in terms of the game was a little fast for him at linebacker. The further he was away, the slower he was. And that's not where Thomas Rush wins. Thomas Rush is one of the most explosive guys in the team. He's also 6'4", 230, 240 pounds. He's very, very athletically gifted. And so they want to move him closer to the line of scrimmage because what they've seen so far is the closer he is to the line of scrimmage, the more his athletic ability shines, and that's where he wins. And so you look at Minnesota not having a lot of depth at that rush end position behind Mafe, because you have DV Harris, and that's where Thomas Rush is going to try to earn some reps there. They know that he's very gifted athletically. They know he looks like a guy that can rush the passer, and they know that, you know, at least they feel like they have a lot of adequate bodies at linebacker between Mariano, Braylon, Donald Willis, James Gordon, Josh Ani, Jaquandis Burns, Cody Lindenberg. They have bodies back there that they can provide depth, whereas they don't have the immediate depth at rush end. So I think it's that twofold. I think it's them.
The numbers, yeah.
It's numbers at linebacker compared to numbers at rush end, but it's also they believe that he's going to play a lot faster and play up to right. that athletic ability as a rush end compared to what he was as a linebacker.
Size-wise, I don't know off the top of my head. Does he compare more like a what is it?
He looks like Kamal Martin or Carter Coughlin.
Okay, I mean, so he is as big. Okay.
He's very physically imposing.
This isn't like one of the Huff brothers that was a little smaller, but he's really
a legitimate 6'4", 240-ish pounds.
Again,
he's one of these Nike Sparks freaks where he had something like 110 Spark score coming out of his high school in Ohio. And that's where they thought, if we can just get him to play up to that athletic ability, he can help win us football games.
Yep. No, I get
it. In year three now, they're trying to move him to a position that athletic ability shines.
All right. Before we close out, one last question. Which of these players that's going to be in a new role this year? When I say new role, I'm not saying like a position change, etc. I just mean like new responsibility in terms of playing meaningful snaps. Who would you bet right now on as being probably the highest performer this season, barring injury?
Define highest performer. Are you talking about statistical?
More so like fills a void and meets your expectations of like backfilling someone like a Carter Coughlin or backfilling like a, you know, an Antoine Winfield, or maybe even exceed someone statistically that they're going to fill in for, like maybe a Kamal Martin, sure. etc.
I think I have to stay on brand first and foremost. And boy, Mafe, I think the world of him athletically. I know that the staff thinks the world of him athletically. I know that they're really trying to get him and Chad Wilt on the same page in terms of how to utilize all those athletic gifts that he has, because he is, in my mind, as explosive as Carter Coughlin is, but he is 25, 30 pounds heavier than Carter, and he's about the same height. He might be a little longer. I mean, you've seen when Boye got snaps last year that he can really be a very, very good edge rusher. He has the size. He's got the athletic ability. And I think he is going to be Minnesota's best pass rusher. So I think he can help alleviate some of the pass rush concerns. I still think that, I really want to see a little bit more from Mariano Sorry-Marin. Now, I know the staff is counting on him quite a bit. They've already talked him up. I mean, hell, they even let him talk to the media. Now, folks, it's something to try and get Gopher football to let you interview a player, heaven forbid, an assistant coach or even the head coach. But that's a... That's a podcast for another day. But if they let him talk to the media, that should signify to you, as it does to me, they have, I mean, he's going to play a prominent role on this team. But if Oliver is not ready for fall camp, I mean, how does Donald Willis or DJ Gordon or Josh Ani really step in there? And then in the back end, I mean, I think that Tyler knew they can do some different things with the defense to try and help Tyler Newbin. But man, am I worried about Justice Harris. I can't stress that enough. And just the snaps I've seen of him on defense, and I know that, you know, I've said that to members of the Gopher coaching staff, and they'll point to, yeah, well, look at how well he played against Georgia Southern. Well, that's great. I know he can do some things in run support, but I've watched Noah Fant kill him, and I've watched different receivers just run straight and run straight past Justice Harris on defense. And that's how. I mean, is it going to be Justice Harris? Is it going to be Jalen Glaze? Is it going to be Saul Brown? Is it going to be Phillip Howard? So I have confidence at most positions, but maybe the position I'm most worried about is that nickel spot.
Got it. All right. So, yeah, I mean, at this point, we have a lot of holes to fill defensively. I think, as we talked about offensively, there's a lot of optimism, and there's good reason for optimism with the number of guys back. But defensively, I'm with you that we have to find a way, and by we, I mean Joe Rossi has to find a way to find the skills of these players and tailor this defense towards them to be successful. I'm excited to see how that plays out, but if anybody was going to be nervous, I'd be nervous about this defense.
I'm with you. I mean, we didn't even get into special teams, but sweet Moses.
I don't think we have enough time to do a special team special.
I was rewatching some of the games here, yeah. And I just, even going back into like rewatching the bowl game, it's like, how in the world did Rob Wenger get an $80,000 increase after how terrible special teams was last year?
Didn't you hear that he landed the best punting recruit in the country or in the world? I'm sorry.
I know. And I was excited to watch my favorite 26-year-old punter, considering him and I are 1 year apart in age. I also will say this, like, for those of you who thought, like, Minnesota was going to go to this Australian rugby style. I mean, from the limited two punts I saw here in the spring, like, it's not like the American style where it's catch, you know, step, punt. It's like catch, take one step to the side, and then punt. It's not like run for 5 minutes and then punt it. I don't know, like, what people were thinking there. But, I mean, or even, like, I'll even tell you this. Gosh, you're getting me worked up about special teams already. This is the worst.
This is the best.
Like, you... So, like, when in the one spring practice, again, very limited sample size, like, when, for those of you who've been to a spring practice, you know that Fleck loves to bring on, like, they'll be in the middle of a drill, then he'll, you know, yell something and the field goal team comes on. When they did that, it wasn't Brock Walker. It wasn't Michael Lance taking kicks. It was somebody called Anders Jeliz, and I don't even know how to pronounce the last name. So you're telling me the scholarship kicker isn't the guy or Brock Walker. Now we have there's so many bleeping question marks. You're replacing a new punter. You're now throwing a different kicker into the mix. Where is Grant Reirse? Oh my gosh. There's just not enough time in the world and not enough medication to keep my high blood pressure down.
All right. Well, we want to thank everybody for listening. We hope that you are number one, staying safe. Do stay indoors. wash your hands. I don't know. A lot of smarter people than me have been giving instructions on that. So follow right. that. I hope that we were able to provide you just a little bit of an escape, just for a moment. As Ryan said, we're gonna be back. We're trying to get our good friend Eric Vigo to join us to talk about how this whole COVID-19 thing impacts the entire athletic department, which obviously impacts football, etc. So we want to thank you for listening. I don't know, Ryan, you have any parting words before we go?
We know it sucks. We know staying at home sucks. We know working from home sucks. We know some of you've seen a lot more of your kids and you've now become the teacher. We know it's not great, but we've heard the same things you guys have heard. Fleck has heard the same things you guys have heard. If you want there to be a college football season, stay at home. Don't socialize, do FaceTime everything, wash your hands, different things like that. And this isn't rocket science. We know it sucks, but we're with it together and we'll try to give you some more entertainment next week.
All right. We want to thank everybody for listening, and go Gophers.